Mr. Quinnell, reel one.
Now, I want to start in August 1914 when you
joined up.
When you joined up with the Royal Fusiliers.
Yeah.
And in August you went to the Royal Fusiliers depot at Hounslow.
Hounslow.
Could we start off by talking a bit about how the volunteers were actually received when you first arrived?
Yeah.
That is to say, what happened to you? Tell me about that.
Are we on?
Yeah, far away. Mm-hmm. You're just talking to me, that's all.
August the 17th, 1914, was the day I joined up. I received the King's Shilling at Francis Street, Woolwich, and from there I was given the King's Shilling and a railway warrant to go to Hounslow, which is the other side of London. I got out of the station at Hounslow and inquired the way to the Royal Fusiliers barracks and went there, walked through the gate, and for the first time in my life I found there was a guard room just inside the gate. And the sergeant very quickly said, "And where do you think you're going?" I said, "I've come to join the Royal Fusiliers." "Oh," he said, "well, you see that barrack room over there?" And he pointed to a barrack. I said, "Yes." He said, "We go there and ask for the sergeant major." I walked over there and asked for the sergeant major. And the sergeant major looked me up and down and he said, "Follow me." And I went upstairs. There I found a barrack room with a lot of reservists who had been called up, and a lot of new boys like myself.
Could you describe what the barracks were like?
Yeah.
The kind of number of people in them and how you were accommodated there?
The barracks then, there was a building with a staircase in the middle. There was a barrack room on either side on the ground floor, a flight of stone steps and a landing, and a barrack room on either side of the landing. Each barrack room was built to accommodate 16 men and 16 beds. But on this particular occasion, there were 28 of us in the room. The old soldiers, the reservists, they had coloured the beds, and the rest of us, we simply sat on the floor. There were just beds and a table and a few chairs. After a time, a cry came up the staircase, "Mess orderlies," which conveyed precisely nothing to me, but I was soon to learn. Two of these reservists went down the stairs, and about 5 minutes later, they arrived back with a Dixie full of stew and one pint mug. This pint mug was handed round between the old reservists, and each taken a sup out of it. But another young chap and I, we decided we didn't want any of that, so we went to the canteen and we had a plate of rice.
Did you have to pay for that?
We had to pay for that, oh yes. Very cheap, but a penny or three halfpence or something like that. Ridiculously small price. Well, this went on for the rest of the day. Then next day, we were awakened by the bugle, which sounded reveille, and we were ordered down onto the parade ground, and then we were allotted to different platoons. We were then given a little bit of PT, physical training.
What did that consist of?
Running, and then stretch arms, stretching, deep breathing, usual PT stuff. And then back to the barrack room for breakfast.
How was the breakfast organised? How did they serve that up?
The mess orderlies are called, and they go under a non-commissioned officer to the cookhouse, and they come back with a dixie of tea for each barrack room, and a dixie, and in the lid of the dixie are some fried bacon and some pieces of bread. Very primitive, but we had this breakfast, and then the
How did you eat it? Did you sit at a table?
No. You simply went up to the dixie lid and took a piece of got a piece of bread and put a piece of bacon on it and went back and sat on the floor and you ate that. Mm-hmm. The tea was handed round. Once again, we just had one mug, no knives, plate, no knives or knives and forks or plates. I was just handed this mug, and mug was handed round, dipping into the tea to refill it. And that was breakfast. Well, after breakfast, called out on the parade ground again, and we were allotted to various non-commissioned officers who had been left behind by the regular battalions. And there we were shown a rifle, and we were told the name of all the parts, starting from the muzzle, working the way down to the butt. These NCOs were very, very helpful, and
how did they feel about having been the ones who had been left behind?
They really hated us, but after a few days, we got used to them, and they got used to us, and we became quite good friends. Mm-hmm. So the NCOs and the few officers that were there was a nucleus of the NCOs and officers left behind, especially to train the likes of us. And they really resented us because they thought that they would never get a chance to see the war. Yeah. And everybody was firmly convinced in those days that the war would be finished by Christmas, but they didn't say which Christmas.
You've mentioned PT and rifle instruction. Did you get any other kind of training?
Yes, foot drill. We learned how to march, how to cover one another off, and above all, we were taught how to stand in a straight line, which is very difficult for novices. But if you get the order right dress, you turn your head only to the right, and you move to a position where you can just see the chin of the man next door but one to you, and that's all. And there you remain fixed, with your head turned to the right until you get the order, eyes front, and then you bring your head round to the front.
Tell me about how your kit and equipment was issued at Hounslow. Did they give it all to you at once?
No.
What happened?
You must remember that at this time there were close on 2,000 men in a barracks which was built to accommodate 1,000. The clothing came piecemeal into the quartermaster stores. Some men we would be lined up, and the quartermaster would come out and say, "You, into the storeroom. You, into the storeroom." That means that when we got in the storeroom, those men would find that perhaps there was a tunic to fit them, or perhaps a pair of trousers, or perhaps a pair of boots they've got of their size. And so it went on for nearly a fortnight.
What did you all look like as you were doing
your training? We looked a ragtime lot. In fact, there was a... Before long, there was a song invented. It was called... would you like me to sing it?
Yeah,
to you?
Go ahead.
"We are Fred Carnot's army, Fred Carnot's infantry. We cannot fight, we cannot shoot, what goddamn use are we? And when we get to Berlin, the Kaiser he will say, 'Hock, hock, mein Gott, what a bloody fine lot Fred Carnot sent today.'" You must know that Fred Carnot was leader of all the comedians. He was a top comedian. Mm-hmm. Hence the expression. And we really were a motley lot. After a fortnight there, we were entrained for Colchester.
Before you go on to Colchester, during the course of the training, what seemed to be the sort of the main emphasis of the training? What did it seem to
get us fit.
Yeah.
Because you must remember that quite a lot of men who came up, they were clerks or they'd worked in shops, and the very nature of their calling didn't make for fitness. But then there was a lot of us. I personally was in the building trade, so I was pretty fit. And another thing, I've always been keen on sport. So the marching was easy for me, but quite a lot of chaps who were, as I say, in sedentary jobs, they found it pretty hard. But within a short time, they got fit.
I'd like you to try and tell me a little bit more about the daily routine. You mentioned that reveille was about 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Could you go through it step by step and tell me what happened?
Yes.
When reveille was blown, yes. What was your immediate next step?
Yeah. Well, in this barrack room, there was no bedclothes or anything. On those chaps who had the old reservists who had the beds, they slept on three pallets, which were known as biscuits. The bed folded up, it was in two halves, and the bottom half slid into the top half. When it was stretched out, there were three biscuits put on the bed.
What were the biscuits made of?
Just ordinary hard palliasses.
Stuffed with straw?
Covered with linen and stuffed with... I never saw what the stuffing was. It was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, we'd been sleeping on the floor. We just stood up and we were dressed, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, down on the... Then the bugle would blow again on parade in 5 minutes, the 5 minute warning.
Yeah.
And we would go down. By now, after a few days, we knew exactly where to fall in.
What about washing and ablutions? That would take place first.
Well,
before parade.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There was an ablution room on each landing.
What was that like? What were the conditions?
Very, very primitive. Just earthenware basins, and. There were no hot water, and there was no shaving facilities or anything of that. We just simply washed this loose in cold water. Oh, there was army soap there, which didn't lather very well. And a towel, with a great big towel, and that was that.
So you'd wash and then you'd have to go on parade at, what, 6:30?
About 6:30. And you would have an hour, PT, before breakfast. Then you came back and you had breakfast, as I described, the tea and the bacon and the bread. Yeah. And then after that, you'd in the ablution, on the landing, also was small cupboards where the cleaning utensils were, the broom and the scrubber, dry scrubber for the floor. And these old reservists showed us how to dry scrub the floor and then sweep it. And
what was the technique of dry scrubbing a floor?
The dry scrubber was a platform of wood about a foot wide, about 6 inch, a foot long, about 6 inches wide, and it had hard bristles underneath. A handle which screwed into this wooden platform. And the one man had to scrub the floor, another man follow him with a broom.
Could you scrub it standing up, or did you have
yes,
to get
on
your
knees? Standing up, standing up. There was, and then we would, there were some cleaning rags. They would be dusters for the wiping over the windowsills and tops of the door and so forth. That didn't take long. Mm-hmm. And then when that was finished, you'd be the it'd be parade time, and you used to go down and fall in, and then the sergeant would take over, and you would have another you would have a whole morning of marching, and he would show you how to get how to dress the line, and you would learn all commands such as about turn and all that sort of thing.
What did you call the marching session? Did you have a special name for it?
Gravel crushing.
It was was the expression square bashing used at that time?
Yes.
It was?
Yeah.
But you generally call it gravel crushing?
Gravel crushing.
Mm. Yeah. And the morning would be spent then in these activities, physical training, marching, rifle instruction.
Yeah.
And lunchtime, that would you go back to the barracks?
Yes. And the same words apply to the first day that I was there. This Dixie of stew would come up. Well, by this time, after a few days, of course, we were run out of money. And so we had to row in with the boys who were doing the dip in for the stew. And when you're hungry, you're not fussy.